Blog Talk Radio.
There's too many
brother,
there's far too many of you died. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Father,
we don't need to escalate.
Wonderful, beautiful Monday morning. The date is 4/18/2022. 4/18/2022 is 9:03 a.m. on this beautiful, phenomenal, and fantastic Monday. And look, if you want to call into the show, if you want to call in and you want to say something or you want to listen, you dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064 and press 1. And it'll put you right in the queue, and you'll be right here with us live on the radio show. Now, if you want to listen online because you're at work or you're busy or you've got something going on at home, you're fixing on your car or you're fixing on the kitchen, whatever you're doing, go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and on the search, put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S. I'm going to say that one more time. You can write it down. You want to listen to the show online, go to blogtalkradio.com. Blog Talk, what's up, Cousin Charles? What's up all the way out there in Arizona? Cousin Charles Jones, right on, my brother. Okay, If you want to listen online, go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions. We have two very, very important topics. We're going to have the Word of the Week. We're going to have the Scripture of the Week. We're going to have Words of Wisdom with Tawana Jones. We're going to have Regulate the Manual with co-producer Clarence M. Allen. We're going to have the commentary with Professor co-producer Professor Reams. And we're going to have so much for you. We're also going to have Linda Goldie with Poetry in Motion. We're going to have Vera Jones with Health and Wellness. And we're going to have Aretha Adams-Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, with Mental Health and You. So we have a full show for you today. And we have some very important topics, very important topics. One of our topics could be very sensitive for a lot of people. So I want you to chime in. And on Facebook Live, where my cousin Charles is and a couple of other people, they're all coming in slowly, please share this with somebody. Please share this, the Eddie Jones Civil Rights Talk Show, with somebody, because we're talking about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And if we don't stand up for something, we're going to fall for anything. And we should be at a point in our lives now, in this world, at this time, where we are not falling for nothing, not one single thing. From the bird flu to the Ebola virus to the coronavirus, we're not falling for it, okay? We're not falling for it. The gas prices are all pumped up because the reason why the gas is so high, because they're making up for all the money they lost with the war going on and then with coronavirus. So this is all a premeditated conspiracy. It's a planned demic, okay? They know what they're doing, and there's no thanks for the heart. And again, on Facebook Live is Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. Right now, come join me. You can see me right here. A lot of people are saying, hey, why'd you grow a beard? Well, if you want to see it, if you want to see my new beard, come on to Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, and you will see my new beard, okay? Oh, my gosh. I love you guys. Everybody out there, I love you. I hope you had a happy resurrection weekend. Good Friday, the whole week, it was beautiful. It was phenomenal. I wrote a scripture, and I used it. I preached at two different churches, and praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for using me as a vessel to, everybody preached about Jesus hanging on the cross, right? And everybody preached about Jesus coming off the cross, which is good. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's phenomenal. It's the right thing. I preached about something a little bit different, and and I know that Jesus had a mother, and her name was Mary. So if you were to go to John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, you would see where it said, Jesus said, behold, here's my mother, and hey, mom, how are you doing? And if we break it down in layman terms, and then he said, Mom, you took care of me all my life. She carried you up under her heart for 9 months, gave birth to you and nurtured you up to the great man that you became to be for God. And a lot of people don't know that mother was right there all the time. So I preached about mothers and who are the nurturers of our earth. The woman is the nurturer of the earth. She nurtures her children. And then she nurtures her husband when he needs to be nurtured, when he needs to be lifted up or told whatever, that he can do it. That wonderful wife is right there at her man's side, nurturing him, giving him the energy that he needs to go get that bachelor's degree, that master's degree, that PhD. She's there cooking the food and taking care of the household and making sure that he goes to his doctor's appointments, because y'all know men don't go to the doctor until their wife tells them to. But not everybody, but a lot of guys don't go until their wife says, honey, come on, let's go, because she loves you. So I said yesterday, that, she was right there at Jesus' feet, and she also cried, because there's no pain like losing your son. And that's what one of our topics is about today, a young man that was lost. And we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. But before I do that, I got to get in our co-producers and our co-hosts and our everybody in the show. So let's start off with our co-producer, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning, brother?
Got picket lines. We got picket signs. Don't punish me.
with brutality. Come on and talk to me so you can see, oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I tell you what's going on. It's the Pastor Eddie Jones Morning Blog Talk Show every Monday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Good morning to the co-producers, co-hosts, especially good morning to all our wonderful, dedicated, and those who are coming aboard as listeners to this civil rights, human rights, our constitutional rights, and every right that we can think of. Thank you for having me again, Pastor Eddie.
It's an honor and a pleasure beyond words. My brother Clarence, our co-producer. Let's get in our co-producer, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, welcome to the show. Professor Reams, how are you this morning? I thank God we have a professor on our show.
Good morning, Pastor Jones, and good morning, the regulator, and good morning, everyone, because every Monday we start off our week right. First, on Sunday, we go to church and we pray, and then we start the week off right with Monday to listen to the best blog talk radio show in land, and we get a chance to share how these topics are affecting us, but we also get our own testimonials of how God has worked in our lives and how we love his grace and mercy. So with that, good morning, and good morning.
Good morning, Professor Reams. We are so honored to have you on the show today. We're going to talk some political stuff in just a few minutes, and it's very political, and it's a crime in the United States of America, and it's been going on for a long time, since slavery. And we have got to find a way to stop it. But without further ado, let's get in my sister Vera Jones. Good morning, Vera Jones. Welcome to the show, the lady who's in charge of health and wellness. Welcome to the show, Vera.
Good morning, Eddie, Clarence, Professor Reams, co-host, and all the listeners. Happy Monday.
Vera Jones.
I hope you had it. Yes.
Hey there. You know what? I've been thinking about my new name Professor Rain gave me.
Mm-hmm. Granny V.
I love it.
Granny V.
Yes. Yes.
That's all right. Okay, without further ado, I want to get my daughter, Talana Jones, on the show. She does Words of Wisdom. Good morning, Talana. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dad, and good morning to my butterfly and to Clarence M. Allen and to Professor Reams. Shout out to Cousin V and to all of our co-hosts and listeners. Good morning, everybody. Blessed and favored as we all are. I love you all, and I pray everyone had a wonderful Risen Resurrection Day.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Good morning, Talana.
Good morning, Talana.
I want to send a shout out to Wanda Long, who's listening on Facebook Live. If you want to go to Facebook Live and you want to look at me, you know, and you know, go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, and just share it with somebody, share it with a friend, share it with anybody, whoever wants to come on and talk or say something or about civil rights or human rights. I invite you to call in and press one. You can call in at 646-787-8864. Oh, we got a little feedback going on there. Don't worry, somebody will fix that. Thank you for the hearts. Thank you for all that. And I'm going to shout out again my cousin Charles Jones. And there's Vera. She's live on there. Hey, there she is. Hey, right on. And thanks for the hearts. I love the hearts. Thank you so much. You know, y'all can send me all them hearts because that means that you care about me and you love me and you love everybody on the show because we're all a family. Well, family. Let's see here. Okay. Well, okay. Without further ado, I want to go right into the topic. I want to dive into this subject matter. Let me just read this to you really quick. Patrick Lyoya. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Patrick, I guess it's Lyoya, was shot in the back of his head by a Grand Rapids, Michigan police officer. Was deadly force the only way? Okay, so Patrick Lyoya was shot in the back of his head by a Grand Rapids, Michigan police officer. Was deadly force the only way? We have seen, I've worked on a lot of cases. You know, I've advocated for cases where young men were shot and killed. They turned the young man over. He was holding his pants, and they said he had a gun, but he didn't have on a belt. He was holding his pants. The other young man they shot, and the LAPD chief had to call me out to stop a riot from starting in South Central because they shot a young man, and they turned him over, and he had his phone in his hand, and they said he had a gun. But he had a phone. He was calling his mother. That was the last number he dialed, was his mother's number. It was still in on the phone. But when I did arrive to the scene, they had them all in those plastic handcuffs. And I said, if you don't want to riot, you need to take these people, this family, out of those plastic handcuffs immediately. And they did that. And I prayed with them, and they cried, and they screamed, and they hollered because of their young 18-year-old son that was shot and killed. That was somebody's grandchild. That was somebody's nephew. That was somebody's son. That was somebody's cousin. That was somebody's friend. Am I sick and tired of being sick and tired of these type of actions taking place by the police department? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm looking for solutions this morning. We are looking for solutions to this particular unnecessary thing. I've seen white people get stopped by the police and literally beat the police up and they don't shoot them. I mean, I've seen them slap the police and they didn't shoot them. They handcuffed them, wrestled them down and put them in the backseat and took him to Burger King before they went to jail. So, but I've seen African-American black men running from the scene, and the cop will just take his time and just shoot him down like he's hunting a deer. Are we animals? No, we are not. We are the emperors and empresses of this planet called Earth. We have come a mighty, mighty long way. And everything that has happened in America would have never taken place without the blood, sweat, and tears of African-American black people. Have we had our own? Yes, we have had our own cleaners, grocery stores, and what did they do? They came and burned it down and lied and said that a black man raped a white woman when it was really a white guy who raped a white woman and blamed it on the wife blamed it on a black man because she was having an affair. And you guys know the story. We just got Bruce Beach back to the rightful owners. We had to fight to get Bruce Beach belong. That's in Manhattan Beach where all the white people took over. And they said it was their land. They took it from the black people. But now they have it back, and it's worth $75 million. So they have to pay them their $75 million plus whatever else they owe them. But let me get back to our point here. Young Patrick was pulled over by a white police officer, and I could tell by the video the police officer was already scared. If you're scared, don't put the uniform on. If you're scared, don't put the uniform on. You cannot come to work as a police officer afraid before you get out there on those streets. You need to stay prayed up then. Maybe you need a desk job. And I'm so tired of these police officers being on leave with pay. Why are you getting paid and you shot a man in the back of the head? How much of a coward are you? You shot a man in the back of his head while he's laying on his stomach on the ground. I don't even want to talk about Trayvon Martin. I don't want to talk about Devin Brown. I don't want to talk about all these other shootings that have taken place. George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery. I was there. I was there in Brunswick, Georgia, with the Ahmaud Arbery family. I was there in Minnesota with the George Floyd family. I know what it feels like for everybody to be caressing each other and crying and praying. But we can't bring them back. We can't bring Ahmaud Arbery back. I'm so glad that they went to court and they had the trial in front of the whole world, and they better had done what they did, gave those people life without the possibility of parole. But I honestly, and God forgive me, I think they should have got the death penalty. They shot that man down in cold blood, and we all watched it. We all watched George Floyd get choked to death. That man should not have gone to prison. He should have gotten the lethal injection. Because he lethally killed George Floyd on public television. I'm just tired of it. I'm just saying, if we get down to the real nitty-gritty, this kind of stuff will stop. If we start giving them lethal injection or doing what they've been doing to us, at the moment, instead of putting them in jail, giving them three meals a day, sending them to the dentist and everything else, you killed an innocent person. Whether you're a police officer or not, you committed a murder. And then you want to justify it. And we want to rectify it. And we want to stop it. And there's only one way we're going to do that, by action. And I'm not talking about marching. I'm talking about writing letters. I'm talking about write letters to your president. Write letters to your governor. Write letters to your, go to your city council meeting and talk about it. If you don't do anything, nothing will change. It'll stay the same. And either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for anything. And I'm just about sick and tired of falling for this kind of mad stuff that keeps occurring with these police officers across our United States of America. We need to sue the United States of America. Not only for that, but for reparations too. And that's what we need to do. We need to take this to the Supreme Court and put it before, since we have a African-American black empress in the Supreme Court now, praise the Lord for her. I am so proud of her. But this is a good time for us to take these situations to the Supreme Court and get something done about it. Take it to the top court and let them talk about this like they do LGBTQT. Okay, we're talking about people getting killed by the police. This is a serious matter, very serious, because a lot of mothers are afraid to allow their black sons, young black sons, to be out there on the streets without educating them on how to, you know, proper etiquette when you see the police or you deal with the police. And we're going to go over that, because the first thing that cop did was start screaming at him, and that wasn't necessary. He's screaming because he's scared. If you're a good police officer, you don't need to be screaming all these, get down, do this, do that. You don't have to scream that if you're really good. You can look at them, and you can point your weapon at them if you have to and say, get down on your knees, place your hands behind your back, and we're going to have a talk. And you already have the upper hand. You have the weapon. It's what you don't need to use deadly force. You don't. It's not necessary. Deadly force is not necessary. If a white guy can come and slap the cop and wrestle with him and run around the car and take all his clothes off and all they do is arrest him and put him in the car and take him down to the station, then you should do that for every single body. There should be no extra privileges for any human being on this planet called Earth when it comes to police and policing. Everyone should be treated equally, and everyone should be treated the same. I hope that this sinks into the resonance of your heart and mind. I hope you analyze and evaluate these words, and I hope that you are ready to not only think about it, but do something about it, because it could be your son. It could be your nephew. It could be your grandchild. And nobody, and I do mean nobody, wants to get that phone call from a police department. My heart goes out to the case I worked on with John Thomas Horton III. I want to give a blessing to Mrs. Helen Jones and the work that she does and the work that we did for her son's case. You can look it up anytime. John Thomas Horton III. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. We won, and we changed policy and procedure, and the mother was compensated, but we couldn't bring John back. He was beat to death by the sheriff's department inside the men's central jail. And we went on a tour in that jail, and we asked for changes, and the changes were made. We fought for changes, and changes were made, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to fight for our rights, and we shouldn't have to just be patient and be passive and be just let these things keep transpiring and happening over and over, and we don't do anything about it. We're still crying out in the street and marching and all this stuff. We need to do some documentation, because that's what they understand. They understand paperwork. So let's give them the paperwork that they need to make phenomenal, tremendous changes in policing in the United States of America. And with that being said, I'm going to go to our professor, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, I'm sure you read about the shooting with Patrick, and he's down on his stomach. He's shot in the back of the head, and I think it was the worst thing in the world. Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Please take the floor. Give us your take.
It was the worst thing, because the fact that this particular incident was only a traffic stop, as usual, and the situation that occurred was that the young man was, they had indicated that it was the car wasn't properly registered or whatever it was, but that when he went back to, and so he said, I do have my driver's license, went into the car, and then was able to show that, or he, for whatever reason, didn't, forgot to have the driver's license there. Whatever the case is, then he walked away, but then the person was yelling, halt. He also used his taser, and then that's when it got into a struggle between the taser and then it, from the cam of the police officer, it seemed like that the police officer and even folks commenting were saying that the police officer was the aggressor and he was very violent. So we knew how this was going to go, and a witness was seeing this at the same time, saying that you knew it wasn't going to go well if that if there's a tussle between the white cop and the black citizen. So then the question is, shouldn't this witness have come out? Well, then we already know what happens when there is that sort of one-on-one, and then it's a word against word. So with the witness doing what he did, at least you have witnesses or a witness saying that this is exactly what happened and corroborating all the things that the body cam showed on the video. Now, when we get to the actual circumstances, we look at the state of Michigan. Right after the George Floyd, Michigan had a package of 12 bills aimed at police reform, which has stalled, and they haven't done anything since May of 2021. So the bills are there. And the senators and state senators that have been complaining and trying to push this through, but for whatever reason, as we know, 10 months later, nothing has been done. And many of them commented that in looking at this, those bills, based on how the police behavior was done, also addressed how they handle stops and how not the use of deadly force or any of the things that happened in this incident as a result of George Floyd. But, of course, it stalled, and these would have resolved the issue. So if we're going to take a deadly action, it would almost be a letter campaign directly to the governor to allow these bills to pass, because each one of these bills had a resolution to the policing problem. Now we have to get in the lines of what, and it's both bipartisan too, which is both Republican and Democratic. So it's not a problem of one side holding, not a side of one side. One side is just they didn't vote on anything. So if any action needs to be taken along with, of course, prayer and then, working with the family, it is getting this state to pass those bills so that the reforms will take place. Because the letter campaign has already been done, because that's why these bills were put there in the first place. And if you Google that, each senator and representative indicates what portion of the bill that they put in there which would have addressed this situation wholeheartedly. So the next step is, how do you get them to get it out of gridlock? How do you get them to pass it? And now with this incident coming up, they even already had a meeting on this, just this incident. And let's see, what did they say? They said, in the wake of the 26-year-old death by Grand Rapids Police on April 4th, some Michiganders are asking the same question they did during the death of George Floyd. So Michigan legislators took steps to address the questions last year. We do all the bills in this place around the police, but we never do anything that actually matters, holding back their frustration, your same frustration you shared with the audience and with all of us, and all the good things that each of the bills have done. So if if there's a way of contacting them and sending their support, or writing letters to the governor or to their legislative body, because if it's stuck in the bills, then all it needs to be done is that the bill comes out of committee And then from that, the bills are then sent to the governor for signature. And so for Michigan,
okay,
the Michigan governor should be able to address this issue along with the protests that are now taking place as a result of the Loaiza death. Now, here's the thing about the Loaiza family. They escaped from the Congo because of the way the country was. And so they were, mm-hmm, were very hopeful that the conflict that's going there, where you know, death and destruction and things like that were happening in small pockets, not all the Congo is in war, was going to be avoided by coming to the United States, only for this to take their son's life. So now we have almost a double thing where, as far as we say, as she said, Pastor Jones, sick and tired, but it's almost as though this is what our calling is. Just like with Jesus and the rebirth and everything like that, just think how many folks and places he had to go through where it's almost like he had to start all over again just to make a blessing,
right,
happen for each of these populations. So the Lord is saying, yeah, you may have this big end here, but on the micro level, you got to be on the ground each and every day, 24/7, doing what you can to make the change in order for it to happen. Otherwise, it's going to happen or not going to happen if attention isn't paid to it. So with that in mind, Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
Well, thank you so much, Professor. And let's give Professor a good hand, a big hand for sharing that very, 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 very important information. Okay, because Professor Reams, I'd like to ask you, can our organization, the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, and all of our associates that are involved with our organization, can we formulate a letter and send it to the governor of Grand Rapids, Michigan? Can we do that this week?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's something that can be put together and sent out, and then I'll take a look to see what the contact is, if they do it by email or is just a Drew snail mail or whatever ways that they prefer contact. It's also good that if anyone has family out there that's dealing with many of the senators and state senators that are there, it would also be good to let them know and then and see what other help they might need.
Yeah, well, we can also CC the senator, and I want to ask everybody: are you okay with having your signature on the letter? If you are, just say I am.
I am.
I am.
Okay, it's a done deal. We voted right on. The ayes have it, and the I ams have it. And can somebody second that right now, please?
Second.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
So amen. It's been second. We voted right here on the show, and we're going to move forward and create a letter, and we're going to get the letter to the senator and to the governor of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we do want a return, so we're going to make sure that our letter is signed for so we can get a return answer. So this is how we do it, and this is for everybody who's listening to the show. You want change? This is how you do it. You start off with documentation. And then you work on getting it into legislation, and you work on getting it on the floor so they can start to vote on it. Because the bills are already ready; they're already there. They've been there since George Floyd, but they're stalled. They're not moving. This one letter to the senator and to the governor could move that bill into action and into office, and then we'll get what we've been fighting for. Not all of it, but a good portion of it. And with that being said, I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, Patrick, I feel like Patrick never had a chance. I really do. I think Patrick was afraid of the police, and a lot of African-American males are afraid of the police. That's why they run, because they're scared, because they don't want to get shot. Clarence, take the floor. What's going on, brother?
Yes, this is just another atrocity. It's another genocide. This is a individual holocaust on us, one person at a time. I was thinking about when you said earlier, was the police afraid for his life? Well, if anyone in law enforcement, when they come up on us, a person of color especially, someone who is black, if you're afraid for your life, you need to resign your job right now all across the United States. But on the other hand, I know and understand and I truly believe that there are many of you who are the children of those who have held us in slavery. There are many of those who are in law enforcement who hid an agenda behind that badge is to find an excuse or reason to take us out. And I don't like to use the phrase because I think it was only used by our brother back in those times when he said, by any means necessary, Brother Malcolm X, when he said that we didn't have a way, so we had to use every way to defend ourselves. But now we must use strategic planning, critical thinking, study our adversary, and understand that they are behind these badges. There are those. There are some good officers out there, but there are also those officers out there who have that hidden agenda. And when that critical moment reaches peak, when it reaches its climax, they will eliminate us. You're on the back of a man. You cut your camera off and you shoot him in the back of the head, point blank. That is execution style. Made me think of the gangster movie, think it was an Elliot Ness movie where they executed a whole string of gangsters. But this is real life. But we keep getting gunned down one after another. You know, it's been a problem with the police, with the community in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's been going on. I was looking at the article where not too long ago, the police handcuffed an 11-year-old girl at gunpoint. There's another incident. There's another incident where they held five innocent teenagers. And these are black kids at gunpoint. So, you know, that police department, that agency, that institution, it has a infestation of a slave-minded mentality. We don't get the respect as white Americans. This is what needs to change. These officers need to be held accountable like a criminal, because they are committing crimes behind the badge, behind the constitution of their state, behind the constitutions of their city, and behind the constitutions of the United States. This needs to change. They need not to be at home getting paid if they have killed one of us. I was watching the videos. I followed this media of the protests and the marching this week after the killing of Patrick LaOya. So, Pacchetti, these tragedies, you know, we just had a 15-year-old boy right here in Long Beach killed over a cell phone in a park. So if it's not the police, we're also killing ourselves. That's called fratricide. See, fratricide is killing your own brother and sister. So America has done an amazing job in putting all of these different ingredients into the system to annihilate us. It's like Custer's last stand. We are surrounded, and not only they're gunning at us, we're gunning at each other, man. We got to wake up, come out these trances. We got to come out these comas, man. You know, it's just too much going on. And that's why I said the other week, we all been taught by America. Look what America has taught us. We have our own scholars. We have our own historians. We have our own ancestors. And until we learn who we are, they're going to continue. We're going to continue down these roads, man.
You're so right, Brother Clarence. Let's give Brother Clarence a hand for that information he just shared with us. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Thank you very much. Brother Clarence and Allen.
Hey, Pacchetti.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Pacchetti. One last thing. There is this word, it's called program. Not program, but program. It is the systemic annihilation of a race. We are under the program.
Right, I agree with you. And not only that, they're committing genocide on our people by putting lots and lots of guns in our community. They send the guns on a train. They leave the train open over there in Watts off of Wilmington on the train track full of guns. And now you know good and well you can forget a lot of stuff, but you're not going to forget that you put a lot of guns down in a community in South Central Los Angeles. Come on now. That creates genocide, and it creates hate, because when you get a gun in your hand, for some reason you feel like you're God, and you're not. And I'm talking to you rogue police officers out there right now. Come on, guys, get it together. And I'm talking to the chief of police. Get it together. I want to shout out my daughter, Dasha Jones. Dasha, thank you for joining us. And God bless you and my two little twin grandsons. Yeah, they're 3 years old, and they, you know, you took them to the aquarium, the Long Beach Aquarium, and they had the best time ever. They never saw so many stingrays and big fish. And so anyway, I just want to shout out my daughter and my grandsons. And then I want to shout out Gloria Majors. Hey, Gloria Majors, how are you all the way down there in Victorville, California? Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. And then I want to shout out my sister Vera for joining us on Facebook Live while she's on the show. And everybody for being here. Thank you guys for coming on Facebook Live. Share it with somebody. Tell somebody. Just share it with everybody so they can join us, because this is a very sensitive topic. And it's a real reality that we're discussing right now. And I don't want, you know, my grandsons were roughed up by the police. My grandsons were roughed up by the police. And I went down there and I gave them a piece of, when I finished with them, they haven't bothered my grandsons since. Because I went ballistic on a verbal rampage to make sure I verbalize and make statements that not a threat. I want you to do something about this. This is not acceptable. This is not tolerable. This is not right. So we want to see some changes. So, and I went to the top. I went to the chief of police, and I had a meeting. They were waiting on me. Then I went to the police board meeting that they have every Tuesday, LAPD has. And I went there and I spoke there too. And then I went to the city council meeting, because the city takes care of the police department, and I had to let the mayor know. So this is what we got to do to make them understand that, look, you know, you might think I was born, but trust me, not yesterday, okay? So, and I'm not Sam Sausagehead. We're going to get this done, okay? They want to bamboozle you. They want to throw all these words on you and say, oh, don't worry, we're going to do No, I want a fast-track investigation. I don't want to investigate it 6 months later. I don't want to hear about that. Investigate this right now. Investigate this now, you know, and then we could go from there, okay? But we don't want you to investigate this a month later or a year later. I just recently worked on another situation. Advocating for a family, and you just gotta. If you don't tell these people what you want them to do, they'll do whatever they want to do. You got to make sure that they do what it says in the amendments of our rights of the Constitution of the United States of America and the laws, and they got to follow those laws too. So if a police officer shoots somebody and we go to trial and we find that cop guilty, he got to go to jail too, like everybody else. He needs to have his badge taken away. He needs to be stripped of his position. And then, well, you don't just shoot a man in cold blood in the back of the head while he's down, face down on the ground. That's a coward. That's a coward. And we know that there's some good police officers out there, but there's a lot of bad ones out there too. And we want them out of the department. I don't care what state it's in, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Michigan, wherever. Okay. With that being said, I'm going to go to my sister Vera Jones. Vera, please take the floor. What do you think about what happened with Patrick? It's just so sad. You're a mother. You know, hey, let's talk about what do you feel. Go ahead, Vera.
Well, Eddie, I am really saddened to hear that this has taken place again. It hasn't stopped. I just want to say I used to work in law enforcement for many, many years, and then it turned to community policing. Now, when a police officer comes in to work, they never, ever know the circumstances. I don't care if they've been there 1 year or 40 years. Their job is to protect and serve the community. So how was this young Patrick being served? I don't care if his registration was bad, his taillight was out, or whatever the circumstances may be. When I saw that video just a few minutes ago, he looked as if he was in fear. And the police officer first is supposed to, not use deadly force, but use whatever he can, because, believe me, that officer was in fear also. And as they said, I've heard one person say it's another black man. So the white police officer was in fear for his life as well. So
right. This
is another touchy subject. That's why I'm going on and on, because we don't even know what that officer, what was going on in his home life. At work, we really don't know, and sometimes it can be taken out on the community. And right now, what's important is for the community. I like how you said we should write letters, but we should also protect and serve our brothers, our sisters, our village, our community, because someone is always watching, and I know several other people have taken pictures or videotaped this, so... I'm going on and on because, yes, not only do I have a son, I have nephews, I have uncles, I have friends, and there are just so many great black men and so many great police officers out there. But this guy was not one of them. So, okay, I'll let you out of floor, Eddie.
Well, let's give a hand for Vera. I could tell that was a sensitive That was very sensitive for you. Let's give Vera a hand. Let's give her a hand. Thank you, Vera. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That, you know, I got to tell you, I'm getting a little emotional right now, because the worst phone call that a mother could ever receive, and trust me, I've been in this civil rights arena for 30-some years, and I've heard piercing screams from mothers. And they just fall in your arms, and they go completely limp. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen a mother come there where her son was there, and I was there, you know, as a pastor and as a civil rights activist. And I had to hold that mother up while she just was all over her son's body. And, you know, she put her hand in his blood. It was very emotional. She said, "My son's blood is spilled on the streets." And she let out a piercing scream that I never heard ever in my life before. And it was so piercing, it brought tears to my eyes. And that's why I'm emotional, because I remember that sound that she made when she saw her son laying there dead. So my heart goes out to all the mothers. My heart goes out to the fathers too, but the mother is the one who carried that child up under her heart for 9 months and then gave birth to him and nurtured him all the way up to the man that he became. And the last thing she's thinking about is that she's going to get a phone call telling her that her son has been murdered by the police or at the hands of another black man. So we really have some waking up to do, because we've been sleeping giants. And if we all just wake up, then we can do this thing together. It's going to take a tribe. It's going to take each and every one of us to make this applicable. But, yes, I get emotional because I've seen the blood spill. I've had to turn the sheet back and look at that. I had to go to the morgue with the family and view that body. And it's not a joke. It's real, real, real deal Holyfield on our show. There's no smoking guns. We're giving you real solutions, real stories, and real talk, okay? Without further ado, I want to go to my daughter, Talana Jones. And, Talana, please take the floor. And how do you feel about the shooting with Patrick, him being forced down to the ground and shot in the back of the head? which I thought was completely unnecessary. And before you start talking, Talon, I want to say this to everybody. A police officer has a taser. A police officer has pepper spray. A police officer has a PR-24 baton. And a police officer also has a rifle with rubber bullets. Then, last but not least, he has a gun that has projectiles that will kill a human being in a second. So all these other things that he has to use should have been used before he used deadly force. I know he tased him, but I believe that Patrick was afraid for his – he was scared. And that's why I don't want our black young men to be driving down the street and be looking in the rearview mirror scared because they see the police. It should never be like that. It should have never been like that, and it definitely will not be like that in the future if we can do anything to make sure that we change that. Change is what we need and what we're going to get. Not just talk, but real change. Go ahead, Talana, take the floor. How do you feel about what happened to Patrick?
It's a very touchy subject, Dad. I agree with the entire panel. I mean, especially what I just heard about serve and protect. What do we have police officers here to mediate or even? I believe that's overrated now. The serve and protect has been taken completely out of context, and to have yet another family lose their son.
Yes.
Speaking volumes to how much we are being protected, it also says to me that the police in Michigan are mimicking what they've been seeing and really have no – the officer who did it, I feel, has no remorse for what he did,
mm-hmm.
and feels that that was called for. My heart goes out to the family. I'm a little emotional myself. I've had to deal with my children having to go to jail for no reason. So, and that hurts a family, period, just to lose a loved one. But to lose a loved one in cold blood is wreck. I also send prayers to the person who committed the crime. That God serve on him, because that's really shameful. You took on, I believe, also what you said, that is factual. You put on the uniform, but you do not honor the uniform. It used to be a privilege to be a police officer. And growing up, I recall watching thank you, Vera, for serving and protecting. I will also shout out my Uncle Dennis for serving and protecting. There is a way to go about serving and protecting in the world, including the Civil Rights Matter. I just would love to be a part of that letter that is going to be sent to Michigan. And I also want to say I extend a lot of love and life for the mother, for her life, for her strength, because she's going to have to endure a lot right now, and that she has the strength to be able to stand up and speak out for her son. Thank you, Dad. I yield back.
Amen.
Let's give a big hand for Talana.
Amen.
Wow.
You know, Eddie, if I could say something.
Yes.
I realize this particular topic is a really sad and touchy one, and it has brought out some emotions we didn't even know that were present. And I guess we're all weeping for the family of, you know, Patrick. And as Talana mentioned, the family for that police officer, because he's about to lose his freedom. He will be in prison. It has to be for a lifetime.
You know what? You know what, Vera? I'm glad you brought that up, because if it's left up, I'm going to talk to the our executive board and see if I could be there for his case. I want to go there to his case, just like
Amen.
I did for George Floyd. I want that
Amen.
Police officer. I want him to go to prison for shooting a young man in the back of the head while he's face down on the ground, helpless. Okay? And that was completely unnecessary. But without further ado, hold that thought, Vera. We have a caller in the 832-880 area code. Welcome to the show. Caller in the 832-880 area code. Are you there? Good morning.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, what's going on, brother? Yeah. Eddie, this is James Hudson. James Hudson out of Houston.
Hey, brother
man.
James. Hey, everybody say good morning to James Hudson all the way in Texas.
Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Yeah, man, real quickly, I just wanted to thank you, man, for all you guys that made those phone calls for us last week to Commissioner Ellis' office and to those other commissioners that we listed on that list. We had over 500 people that made those phone calls. I just couldn't believe it. The secretary was saying, man, these phones have been ringing off the wall all day. And Commissioner Ellis called me in for a meeting. I met with his chief of staff, his internal affairs director, and his communication director. They said, James, we are on this. We've read the documents. We are 100% behind what you guys are doing. He said, you know, our constituents are constantly calling and asking for justice for Joshua Johnson. They said, so we are working on something here. We're up against time here as far as that statute of limitation thing that ends April the 22nd. Josh was shot back, if you guys remember, on April the 22nd in 2020. But anyway, I just want to thank you guys. Not only did I speak with Commissioner Ellis, meet with him. I actually met with his whole team. Then I got a call from Congressman Al Green. I've met with him. He had me fill out some documents requesting that a DOJ investigation be done, as well as some other things that he wants to do that can bring a lot of attention to what happened with Joshua Johnson now that they have those documents. So having both Congressman Al Green and the commissioner.
Brother James, hold that thought for 1 second. For those who don't know who are listening to the show, Joshua was shot down by the police also. He also was shot in cold blood by the police. And if you James will tell you how to read his story, how to go to his story. But I want you to know we all made phone calls on your behalf, James. And this is what we do. We support each other. And this is how we get things done. This is how we fight the powers that be by joining in and supporting each other, because strength runs in numbers. And when we have great numbers, we have great power. So, James, tell everybody how to get to your YouTube or the story. And I want to shout out real quick. I want to shout out, again, Gloria Majors. I want to shout out Elaine Cosley. Thank you for coming on Facebook Live, you guys. Please share it with somebody. And if you really like what you're doing, you know, you could type things in the box here on Facebook Live. How do you feel about the shooting? I would love to hear from you out there on Facebook Live. Just type in how you feel about a young man named Patrick being shot in the back of the head, a young man named Joshua being shot down in cold blood by the police for no reason. Go ahead, James. Take the floor. Go right ahead, brother.
Okay, so to see our story, I'm a playwright, so I wrote a 2-hour production that shows people the story of Joshua Johnson, what happened to him. And all you have to do is go to YouTube, type in Chapel of Restoration, the cover-up. Go on your phone, just pull up, go to YouTube, pull up the Chapel of Restoration. That's the name of a church, Chapel of Restoration, the cover-up, and you will see that whole 2-hour production for free. It doesn't cost anything, and you're going to see the story of Joshua Johnson. And I did that so that I don't have to try to explain this story to thousands of people, because I've been talking to thousands of people, so there you go. And then today we're only targeting one number that we're calling. That is Commissioner Ellis' office, because his office told me to make sure we keep the pressure on, and that means keep those phone calls coming. And all we're saying is we want justice for Joshua Johnson, and we're asking for a full investigation. That's all we're saying. We want justice for Joshua Johnson, and we're asking for a full investigation. So you're calling Commissioner Rodney Ellis' office, and his number is 346-286-1800. 346-286-1800. And then the second number is 713-274-1000. You should be able to reach them. They try to. These people are actually on my phone right now as I'm speaking to you. The police is on the phone right now listening to everything that we're saying. They try to reroute these numbers because they don't want the truth to come out. But we have the Spirit of God working with us, and they don't understand. They think they're working against me when they're working against the Spirit of God. So I'm going to put that on your
Brother
page, Brother Justice.
Yeah, put that, post it. I was going to just say post it on my page. But while we're live on the show, I want to ask you a question, Brother James, because you are a playwright, and I was wondering if you could write a story about my civil rights work, and we could have a play about that. Can we do a production like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, man, we can get together, man, because all you have to do is basically tell me your story, and I can bring it to life. That's no doubt. I've done that so many times with different people. I don't do it a lot with a lot of different people, but if the story has substance to it, then I don't mind writing it. So we'll get together, because I see that you've been involved in civil rights for a long time, and these are the type of stories you want to get out to people, because it's not easy, man, to get out here and do all this stuff. And I know you know that. I mean, you know, I've been working – This Joshua Johnson thing has taken up my whole life for the last 2 years. I mean, my total life, everything. But I've been led by the Spirit of God, so I can't stop until the Spirit of God tells me to stop. And so we're making a lot of progress. We'll make it a lot of progress, and that's because that one or two people here pick up three people here, four people there. Those numbers start to add up. I'm really starting to understand that. You're thinking people are not responding, but they are, because a lady told me, she said, "Look, Hudson, these phones have not stopped ringing." Because I went out to the different churches and I pleaded with the congregation. They allowed me to talk to the congregation, though, and the pastor said, "Take these numbers down right now, every one of you." And they did that, and man, they responded, man. I mean, they responded like, dude, I believe. So I'm not going to hold up the time. I know you guys are talking about what happened with that other young man. I have not even seen that footage. I can't even take it. Everybody keeps asking me, have you seen that? No, I have not. I've heard about it. I can't take it. I'm taking on so much right now, all this injustice that's happening to our people. But the good thing about what's happening with us, we actually have documents on what's happening. So we're praying for that family. We're praying for you guys. You know, like each one, reach one. That's what we have to do. As the sister said, you know, it used to be a time when we really looked up to the police and to the fire department. I remember them coming to our school. We got to get these police officers back out into our communities, to our churches, to our picnics. We've got to make them see that we are human beings, man. They have to demand this when they hire these people to put that a part of their training to interact with the community. So that's all I'm going to say, because I know you guys got a long show to go. But thank you guys so much for all your support, and God bless you.
Now, let's give you a big hand for Brother James Hudson. Let's give a big
man.
Hand.
Nelson. Thank you.
Now, Brother James Hudson, when we do the play, I'm going to wait till this case is over with Joshua. When the case is over with Joshua, then we'll work on the play, and not until then, because I want the focus to, hallelujah, to stay on Joshua, and we're so proud of you. Taking on a civil rights activist position and fighting against the Department of Justice and the FBI and the DEA and the CIA and everybody else. Whenever you put on some civil rights shoes or a civil rights shirt or a civil rights pair of pants, you're going to have to deal with the government. That includes the FBI, the DEA, the CIA, and the ATF and everybody else, because, first of all, they don't want you to be able to make any change. They want to silence you.
Exactly.
They want to keep you quiet. But no, we will stand with integrity and dignity and justice and freedom and equality for all people, starting with us.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right. Amen.
Well, anything else you want to say in closing about that?
No, that's it, brother. Like I said, because I know y'all got a hot topic going over there today. And, man, like I said, my heart goes out to that family of it's nothing like, you know, a mother and father losing their child. And I think if anybody have ever experienced that, man, that is some of just the worst thing. And with Joshua's family, we have to keep reliving this thing over and over and over again. But we're going to continue to fight for justice, man. And like I said, we're all in this fight together. That's what we're in. And justice for all. Even with the police officers, I say job. We have nothing personal against the police. We understand the job that they have to do. But there are good police officers and bad police officers. That's just the bottom line. And until we are able to admit that as a country, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
I agree. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you, man. I hope you can hang in there and listen a little bit longer. We're going to our second topic right now, and our second topic is just as crazy as the first topic. It's just crazy that this stuff keeps happening and nothing's being done about it. So our second topic is 14 people were injured in a shooting at South Carolina Columbiana Center Mall. The injured was from ages 15 to 73 years old. What can we do about this reoccurring incident? These mall shootings are out of control. You can't even go shopping anymore. You want to go to the mall and go shopping, have a good time with your family, get some popcorn, go in and buy a pair of tennis shoes or whatever you want to buy, and then some stupid individual comes in there with a gun and just starts shooting everybody. So that's what happened yesterday on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday. Three guys have been held. They're in jail right now, three young men. And they walk into the South Carolina Columbiana Center Mall, and they shoot 14 people from ages 15 to 73 years old. Now, who wants to go home and get a phone call that your family was at the mall shopping and they got shot by some person who had a mental disability? And that's why we talk about mental health on our show, because it's a taboo topic. And we want to take off the stigma on mental health, because mental health is important. But if you got to go in the mall and shoot innocent people, it's something wrong. Hold on a second. Hold on, let's see. If you got to go in the mall and shoot something, you can just take anybody can go in. They've done it at Walmart. They've done it at malls across the United States. So here's the topic. What can we do to stop these mall shootings? I mean, okay, it's good to have security. Should we have 24-hour police surveillance at the mall 24 hours, whenever the mall is open and even when it's closed? Should we still have police at the mall making sure that this is not happening? Because, you know, this is a topic for me that's very sensitive, because your family could be in there shopping at the mall, and somebody decides to go in there with a long rifle and have 100 rounds in it and just go ballistic. And then they get to go to jail and go sit in a cell and get three meals a day. No, no, and no. So without further ado, I'm going to go to our professor, Professor Reams. Please take the floor on this very sensitive and very important subject matter, because we could be at the mall and they start shooting. What should we do, and how do we get out of there? Go right ahead, Professor. You give us the take on the shooting.
This has been an issue that I've been talking with all of my students on, because, again, they're going to be future business owners, and what is the proper way of security, and how should the public be viewing these things? Well, as you've seen before with all the different mall shootings and what's happened in the past in Vegas with many of the larger shootings that have been going on, there's always been this propensity where if things don't go well, then the first step is to get a firearm and just unload with whatever magnum or magazine that is there. And so I had a conversation with my colleagues in Germany and Britain and some of the other nations, and asking them if they experienced something like this overall, and many, unfortunately, they said no. No, because of the fact that they've placed restrictions on the access to firearms. So the first step is, once again, we're going to be at the Second Amendment on just the availability of firearms that would allow this to happen, because if they didn't have access to fire guns, it would be hard and difficult to do it with a slingshot or some arrows or whatever. I mean, they could try, but it won't be as devastating as with the guns. But this is where we are overall, because otherwise, if they didn't have the firearms, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. So that's pretty much the biggest thing. And even if they do a background check and they do all these other things, people are creating their own guns through 3D printing so that it won't matter. And then if you decide not to tell anyone you have the gun and then something goes awry, because if, for example, the person has a concealed weapons license to carry a gun now and still having, you know, some challenges, he can own the gun still. but then there's not much you can do because now he's lawfully using the gun, but illegally and lawfully using the gun to hurt other people. So that's the that's the first step. And then the other step is that now people, just like with the coronavirus and just like with everything else, they're going to have to be cautious on where they go. This is unfortunately where we are. So it's almost like you have to do a strategic strike where you go into the mall and you know what's going to happen, and you just have to be very careful. If there's a way of shopping online and getting your stuff, then that's another way to do it. But you don't want to just isolate yourself and be a hermit in your home. You just have to understand that just like with a car and like with anything else, this is another reality that you have to figure out what you're going to do. So, and I'm glad the officers and what was done was right, because of course all three of them lived and it wasn't a firefight, which would have gotten worse. But still, all that they can do is when they get there is to evacuate, which has happened in Long Beach when there's been either fire alarms or when there's been possibilities of shooting. Make sure everyone that each business has an escape plan so that if you're in the mall at the time, then they have a route that they can go to avoid, and also have communications that's there when the police are calling, security is called, so that everyone follows the rules so there isn't massive panic. But then you ask the question on, you know, should there be 24 hours? Well, unfortunately, right now, we already have surveillance 24 hours going on in every camera, in every place, in every nook and every cranny. And the thing that's the wild card is there's the attitude that for every rule, rules are made to be broken. So that's where the behavior comes in, where the person's going to find some way or shape to get around it. They'll case the joint. They'll look at, remember the crimes we had back in Christmas where they were holding up folks and then they were casing places and they were using their intelligence, wrongly, of course, when they could have been doing something else, to figure out how they could get in and do whatever they need to do to cause a disruption. Yeah. And there are going to be days when nothing's going on, and that's the least time where you want to feel that you're safe, because like between 10 and 11 or 12 here in Long Beach, it's very quiet. So it means that security is very lax because everybody's at work. Well, if you wanted to cause some problems, you would go at this time because security is lax. So to get back to the 24-hour surveillance, we have it. It would mean that you'd have to deploy at every mall someone there to keep watch, and that it would almost be like each mall would be like lockdown on a military point of view. So
yeah,
the third thing of course is the deterrent. The good thing is that the folks were caught and the bail is set at $25,000, and that this is being televised overall, and it just means that they can now investigate what were the weaknesses that actually allowed this to happen. Now, of course, here we're very sensitive to everything from earthquakes to also shootings and all these other things in general. So we're always on high alert. South Carolina is maybe a little bit different because the fact it wasn't expected there, because it's not a place which is like L.A. or like Long Beach or the big city. So now it means that
Professor Reeves.
Yes.
Professor Ames, could you hold that thought for 1 second? We got a caller. We got two callers. The hold that thought. We're going to get right back to you, Professor. Caller in the 570-278 area code. Are you there?
God bless. Caller in the 570. Pastor Ramsey,
welcome to the show. Let's give a big hand and say hello to Pastor Ramsey. Hey, Pastor Ramsey. Hey, what's happening, brother?
How you doing?
Pastor
God bless. God bless.
God bless you too. Now. Yeah,
Good
yeah.
Morning,
now,
Pastor
hold that thought
Ramsey.
Right there. We're going to get some prayer from you today, Pastor Ramsey. Okay, caller in the 678. Caller in the 678-353 area code. Are you there?
I am here. Annette Davis Jackson, hello.
Well, what's happening, Senator?
Good morning.
Hey.
Everybody
said
good morning to Annette.
Good
morning, Annette.
Good morning,
Annette.
Now, wait, hold on, hold that thought. I want to shout out Charlene Titus, Thank you, Charlene, for joining us on Facebook Live. Thank you, Cousin Jackie Demby, all the way in Connecticut out there, for joining us on Facebook Live. Thank you, all the family that's on Facebook Live. Please share this with somebody like Wanda did with Charlene. Share the Facebook Live. It's Eddie Justice Jones Jr. Please share it so they can get this pertinent information, because guess what? You could go all over, and they're not going to tell you what we're talking about on the show. They don't want you to know. They don't even want you to be educated on it. They want you to keep going to their regular news, which is fake news and premeditated news that keeps us in subliminal thinking by any means necessary. But anyway, it's such a pleasure. Okay. Annette Jackson, I want to ask you a question, and then we're going to go back to Pastor, but we got to go back to Professor Reams. Just want to revisit. We're talking about the shooting in the mall and how we're tired of these shootings at the mall. You can't even go out and shop now. Some crazy person is going to come in there with a gun and start shooting everybody. So I'm asking you us for a solution, Senator, to be. Go right ahead, take the floor.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. It's about safety, right? I believe that we've dumbed down our safety. We've really dumbed down our safety. When we go to the malls, there's not necessarily, and of course, you don't want to walk through a metal detector, but these are our times, right? People are getting in guns, knives, everything. And you know what? We can't forget about what safety means. I'll never forget. I was announcing basketball at New Schools of Carver, and I stopped announcing basketball because the young gentleman brought in guns, and I had young children back then. So I stopped, period. So I don't want people to stop going to the malls because that's a source, that's an outlet. But I do want us to put together a letter to the mall to say, what are you doing regarding safety? What are you doing regarding security? And I do know that when you have the police right in front of the mall, let me tell you, there's a deterrent. So, you know, we need the police force. We need the sheriffs. We need the National Guard. And don't let a big truck come in front of the mall. Guess what? It's going to be a deterrent. And I hate to say that these are the days and the times that we live in, and we got to deter all the way. We got to protect freedom at all costs.
I agree with you. Hold that thought. That was wonderful.
Can
we look, let's give you a big hand. Well said. Well said. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back. Now hold that thought. We're going to go back to Professor Reams to get his closing remarks on this very sensitive topic, very serious topic, because it could be your family in the mall. We're talking about how do you prevent this from happening, and if it does happen, what type of safety measures can you take? Professor Reams, take the floor. What type of professional safety measures can families take if they are in an active shooter situation at a mall? Go right ahead. Take the floor. And then we're going to go to Pastor Reams.
If they are caught in something, then they need to go somewhere that's stay in the actual store, or if there's a place where they can be moved to, then they have the idea of moving somewhere that places them in a safe spot. Next, each of them should have a communication plan, which has cell phones and things, so that these can be in communications with each other at all times, along with waiting for the instructions from the store owner or from the security that's there. That happened at the Lakewood Mall, and so everyone was stayed in place. They waited for further instructions, and then they followed those instructions, and they walked out accordingly as directed by the security staff and the police, because each time Annette Davis Jackson said, the full security is always out there for that mall. They are physically patrolling. They have folks on the ground, and they also have backup depending on what goes on. So there's very little that can go along with adding in metal detectors at some spots. So when this happens, it is now your own personal safety, your family safety, but to follow the rules so that when the evacuation comes, move to the space that has been designated for that and stay there until everyone can be together per the directions of security. So you have to instill in whoever and family members on what to do and how to handle an emergency situation. So that comes on personal training. That may also mean, you know, is having points where you decide that we all go together to spots. Be very patient. Some may want to go off, but then you always have someone with that person at all times. So it's no problem to have your buddy around these other things so that they know exactly what to do. But it's important that everyone stays in contact with each other, follow the rules, and then evacuate immediately as prescribed. And so I yield back to you, Pastor Jones. And thank you also to Senator Bionette Davis-Jackson for also the input on how we have to get back and have high level of security in our malls.
Amen, amen. I want to send a shout out to Cynthia Rogers right now. Good morning, Cynthia Rogers, on Facebook Live. And Jackie, let's give a big hand for our professor sharing that information with us. You know, I'm telling you, safety is so important. I'm going to go in just a few minutes. We're going to, you know, get a wrap up from everybody because we're going to go into our regular segment at 10:30 sharp. You're going to hear words of wisdom. You're going to hear regulate the manual. You're going to hear mental health in you. You're going to hear health. You're going to hear health and wellness with Vera Jones. We're going to get the whole gamut. And then, of course, you're going to get the commentary. And so hang in there. Stay with us. Hey, what's up, Cynthia Rogers? Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. God bless everybody on Facebook Live. God bless everybody on blogtalkradio.com. And bless everybody that's on the phone. And bless the listeners that are listening from around the world. Thank you so much for listening to our show. You could be anywhere else, but you choose to be with us. So thank you, China, Russia, Germany, Africa, Canada, and everywhere else. And then thank you, New York, Chicago, Detroit, Texas, Colorado, Wyoming, North and South Dakota, and North and South Carolina, and everybody that's listening in Texas, all my family in Texas, and all my family in Chicago, and all my family in Los Angeles, and all my family wherever you are. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, support is so important. And please tell somebody about the show, and please share the show with somebody. Pastor Ramsey, are you there? Pastor Ramsey.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Ramsey, it's such an honor to hear you. I know you probably preached a resurrection sermon that was amazing. But this morning, we're talking about these shootings in the mall this morning. Well, first testify about yourself, and then go ahead and tell us what you think about these shootings in the mall.
Amen. Give honor to God who is first in my life, and to you, Pastor Eddie, and to all y'all in your respective places. We had a good service yesterday, and the Holy Spirit took over, and the topic was, He is risen, He come alive. He is risen, so we need to come alive. And some of us need to come alive in this day and hour, because sometimes we feel like we're dead. The walking dead. But you know what, God opens up doors where we can come alive. And my testimony is, you know, I was going through a lot of stuff with my health, and I just lost my aunt on April the 1st. But you know what, to God be the glory. She's up in the heaven, the heavenly Lord's arms. Amen. And we just thank God because, you know, health and strength is very important. And with the health tips from Sister Vera and Pastor Andrews and Sister Aretha, I'm telling you, God works in mysterious ways, and we thank God for that. He always helps us out. And I just thank God for that. And on the shootings, I was thinking, because we heard about, like, where my area is at, we had that guy that was in the subway and put a smoke bomb out and had the gun and get ready to shoot all the people in the subway. But for some reason, the gun jammed up. And if we have some undercover police people or undercover people who will be willing to watch any kind of suspicious things come into the mall, the subway, and they get a place where nobody knows where they're sitting at or where they're standing at, and they can watch every move that when people come into these places, if they're suspicious, if they have a bag that they're carrying, or, you know, if they think they're having security, check everything before they go into the mall and check everything before they go into the subway. So undercover, I know police, we need more police, but we also need undercover people who are willing to go and help out and go into a secluded place where nobody knows where it's at except for the police, and they can watch who's coming in. So if you're undercover, and in all of our cities and countries and states, we should have something like that. Get it together and talk to somebody. We can have like a thing built where nobody sees when the people pull up in the parking lots or the people pull up and they can watch every suspicious activity. So that's my thought on that, Pastor Eddie. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Let's give a big hand for Pastor Ramsey. Pastor Ramsey, we're going to have you pray us out before we leave the show. Do you have to do your show today, Pastor Ramsey?
Yes, sir. I had to go on In the Midst at 9:45.
Tell everybody about your show and what time it comes on and how to listen to it.
We go on In the Midst radio broadcast. It's Pastor Bobby Florence is the visionary, and we all have platform services, and we come on 24/7. And I'm on Monday and Tuesday hosting. I come on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock Eastern, and I come on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern and Saturday afternoon with praise, worship, and testimony at 11 o'clock Eastern, because I'm on Easter time. And the number is 1-605-313-5152, access code 753-454 pound sign. It's an everyday thing, and people are being healed, delivered, and set free. And thank God for our visionary for having
Pastor Ramsey. Pastor Ramsey, give out your number one more time. Some people, you went kind of fast. Give it out one more time.
The number, if you ever want to dial in, it's 1-605-313-5152. Access code 753-454 pound sign. I'll be on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and the topic is we're breaking the spirit of rejection. We've been on it for 2 weeks, and we might go another week. That's 1-605-313-5152. Access code 753-454 pound sign. Thank you, Pastor.
Now, Pastor Ramsey, you're very welcome. Let's give a big hand for Pastor Ramsey coming on. Pastor Ramsey, tell everybody where you're calling from. Tell them where you're calling from.
I'm calling from the state of Pennsylvania. We have a population of 1,000 people in Montrose, Pennsylvania. And let's go Sixers and let's go Eagles next year. Amen.
Go Lakers. No, I'm just messing.
Amen.
I'm messing with you. Amen, amen. All right. Excuse me. Oh, my. Hey, Brother Roy, welcome to the show, Brother Roy. Thank you for coming on. All right, Brother Roy. Now, listen, you guys, this is so important. We've been talking about the police shooting of Patrick Loyola, and that was terrible. And then we're talking about the shootings in the mall, which are getting to be, like, normal. We can't normalize people getting shot at the mall. We just can't normalize that. We do need... If we, you know, like you go in some countries, they got the soldiers are at the malls and everywhere. You get like you go to France or a certain place, you get off the plane, the soldiers are standing there armed and ready to go. They're in full uniforms. We might need to do that because then nobody won't be walking in there in the mall shooting people because they know that there'll be somebody there to deal with them. Amen. And this is a sign of the times. This is the book of Revelations in full effect. Okay,
yeah.
God already told us that these things would come to pass, that these things would transpire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for anything. And we need to stand up for your rights, and don't give up the fight. And with that being said, I want to go to Brother Clarence M. Allen. We got 2 minutes on your closing remarks about the shootings in the mall. What should we do? Come on, Clarence, take the floor.
Yes, Pastor Eddie, we already had many wonderful solutions with our sister Annette, David Jackson, Professor Reams, Pastor Ramsey, and it's just the systemic mindset in our country, you know.
Come on.
I believe at the time that when the four or five fathers and the Congress at that time signed that Second Amendment, they did it at a time where, you know, this nation was still pioneering, you know. But now that this country has been established, I think that Second Amendment need not to be exactly taken away, but restructured. So whereas the availability of the amount, the type of weapons that people obtain is not whereas, you have these rapid fire weapons where, you know, mm-hmm. this ghost, these ghost guns need to be, you know, it need to be some extreme laws against that. But it's just, you know, these gun manufacturers are powerful. And then the mindset, you know, it goes back to that, the civil rights mindset. I will kill her if I'll stop right there. You know, somebody bother me, you know, and the lack of care and empathy for others. So we have so many things. And then we also have these cowards who have to have a gun thinking they're tough and they're doing something everywhere they go. Well, if you're tough and if you're so bad, what do you need a gun for in the first place anyway? So, you know, we the psyche of the mindsets in our country, man, the racism, the hatred, and all of this, the selfishness, man, it's just so many balls that's in this structure. Man, it's a lot of work to be done.
It is. It really is a lot of work to be done. And with that being said, thank you, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Let's give a big hand for Brother Clarence M. Allen sharing some words, closing remarks on our topic here. Thank you very much. Now, it is time for our regular segment on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. And today we're going to start off with words of wisdom, words of wisdom with Talana Jones. It is 10:30 and counting down on our show. And I want to thank everybody on Facebook Live. And I please tell, share, you know, with somebody about, and I can't wait for the commentary. I can't wait for the commentary from Professor Reams. Hang in there. And then if hopefully we'll still have Brother James Hudson on the line so we can get some closing remarks from him. And normally I would close it out with a prayer, but today we have Pastor Ramsey. So before this is all said and done, we're going to get a prayer from Pastor Ramsey because we need prayer. The world needs prayer. The people of Amen. The world need prayer. And without prayer, we just get discombobulated completely. We have to keep that connection with God so that he can move some blessings in our lives and help us to understand why we're going through the trials and the tribulations of the book of Revelation on this planet called Earth, which is a temporary home for each and every one of us. And you know, we'll talk about that at another time. But without further ado, Talana Jones, please take the floor. Give us words of wisdom.
Thanks, Daddy. Welcome, everyone, to Words of Wisdom. Today, I'm heartened by some of the things that I heard, so I want to share some poems of justice, and I pray you enjoy. The first part I'm going to read is a quote that I wrote, and I wanted to be able to share in honor of the mother who lost her son. God bless you. Those we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day. For truth and justice, triumph are the strong, who right the right, who ring out the wrong, who defend the distraught, and confront liars to expose them. Hats off to the heroes of truth who retract deceptive facts against justice, the handouts track and catch fraudsters to denounce. This is a poem that is from a father to a son, his youngest son. The worst pain I have ever felt was looking at you reach out for me through a video screen or a looking glass, and I couldn't touch you. Remember then, right then, I knew what it felt like to die a living death. And my very last is something that I feel we all need to hear. And by one of my favorite poets, you guys, Langston Hughes, I dream of a world where man, no other, I dream a world where man, no other will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace in its path adorn. I dream a world where all will know the freedom's way, where greed no longer stops the soul, nor our bright blights our day. A world I dream where black and white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth and every man is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head, a joy like a pearl, attend the needs of all mankind of such a dream, my world. Thank you guys so much.
Wow, let's give it up for Chelana for words of wisdom today. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very, very much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. First of all, I want to get your pencil and your pen out real quick. Get your pencil and your pen out. I want to give you the word of the week, and I want to give you the scripture of the week. The word of the week, the word of the week, and the scripture of the week. I'm going to start off with the word of the week, and the word of the week is trust. Trust. Make that applicable to your week. Trust. And trust God. And trust your loved ones. You know, don't just, you know, give them lots of rope and trust them. Okay? Give them a chance. You know, because everybody in the world needs a chance. Somebody gave you a chance. Amen? And then our scripture of the week is Job chapter 11, verse 18. Job chapter 11, verse 18. And it reads, having hope will give you courage. You will be protected and rest in safety. I'm going to read that one more time. Job chapter 11, verse 18. And it reads, having hope will give you courage. You will be protected and rest safely. So God is always there to protect you. God will give you the courage. And Job needed that courage at that time. He needed the courage so that he needed God to show him that he could rest safely and rest in the arms of God.
This is
so
from
there,
this
there
call.
Now,
this is from your select shared calling service. You can hang up
okay.
now to avoid the reduction.
You got to,
thank you.
Okay, all right. I don't know what that was, but it's all gone now, you guys. Anyone? Okay.
You are now in
the Okay, wait, hold on. Okay, I don't know where that's coming from, but let's put that in. Okay, there we go. All right, now, anyway, let's go back. So without further ado, it's actually time. I was going to do health and wellness, and I think I am going to do health and wellness. So let's go to health and wellness right now. Vera Jones, please take the floor and give us health and wellness. But you got some feedback going on over there in the background. Okay. All right, Vera, are you there?
Can you hear me, Abby? Yes.
Loud and clear.
Well, great. So today, thank you everyone for listening in to Health and Wellness. So today I want to speak to you about high blood pressure, which is also called hypertension. Now, when our blood pressure is high, it is because our arteries, they're being obstructed, and they're usually filled with a lot of cholesterol and plaque. So the arteries are not functioning properly. And then our circulation through our blood vessels, it becomes really difficult. Now, some of the reasons for that would be stress, obesity, excessive stimulants like a lot of coffee, drug abuse, or even high sodium intake. Now, our blood pressure can rise during stress. So that's why it's very important for us to stay as stress-free as possible. Now, when we feel that weak heart, we'll feel chest pains, swelling of the ankles, the legs, and the feet, shortness of breath, heart palpitations, and even chest pain. Now, another great thing would be in order to avoid feeling a stressed-out heart would be to avoid processed meat, refined carbohydrates, sodium-rich foods, frozen foods, cook your own food, soda, and then even sugary cereals. Now, sometimes with a regular heartbeat, our heart blockage begins,
And that's when you know that, hey, something is wrong and you're not getting the proper oxygen that is needed to your heart. And then you may develop blood clots. And we have to remember that our heart is a muscle, just like the other parts of our muscles. So what we have to do is to do things to strengthen our heart. And you can do that by exercising. And you can walk, ride your bicycle, dance, swim, jump rope, play tennis, or whatever you can do to get your heart rate up. And I would advise speaking with your doctor before doing so, and then keeping a journal and a log, because we know what our normal blood pressure is, 120 over 80. However, sometimes it may be higher and other times it may be low. So we have a couple of herbs that you can take, which is hartshorn. Now, that protects us from heart disease. The motherwort, it strengthens the heart. And then linden, you can get that in the tea because it helps with heart palpitations and if you have anxiety attacks. Now, do you guys remember that that old thing called noni juice, which is pure? Yeah, you can take that as well. And it will be advised to try and eat some great things like avocados. You can eat those every day. Have an apple, all the different berries. Have some whole grain instead of white rice, brown rice, walnuts, leafy greens like kale and spinach, collards, mustard, turnips. And you can even have dark chocolate. Now, salmon is one of the best fatty fish oils, which is great to help keep a healthy heart. But most of all, remember to trust in yourself, trust in your heart. Your body always speaks to you, and have faith that, yes, you can have a healthy heart. Amen.
Amen. Let's give it.
Man.
Well done. Well said. Well said. Well said.
Well said. Doctor is spoken.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Granny V. Well, I hope you enjoyed health and wellness. I hope you enjoyed health and wellness, because now it's time for mental health and you. Let's welcome Aretha Adams Jones to the show. Everybody say good morning, Aretha.
Good morning,
Dr. Aretha.
Good morning, co-host, and happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Well, without further ado, Aretha, take the floor and give us mental health and you.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie, and to the co-hosts and guests and listeners, friends. Good morning. Happy Monday to all of you. This is Mental Health and You. And today I want to bring us just a little short segment on the benefits of a power nap. A power nap. And sometimes, you know, a few minutes can make a big difference. And there was this awesome research that was done by Haley Thistleton, and she talked about the benefits of a power nap. One, it promotes self-care. It reduces fatigue. It increases your overall mood. It's good for enhancing, I should say. It enhances brain-boosting skills such as playing the piano. It increases alertness. It enhances motor learning skills. And it helps with focus and concentration. And the time that's recommended is at least, between 15 to 20 minutes is recommended, at least. 15 to 20 minutes is recommended. Some people need a little more, maybe like 30 minutes. But try to get that power nap in today. And remember, mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you, and have an awesome day.
Amen.
Dr. Rita. Yes. Those power naps are, power naps can help you get your mind right, okay? You feel so much better, especially when you're really fatigued and tired. You need that power nap. And God, that we have a mental health and you segment on our show to talk to you about mental health And rest is part of your mental health. Trust me.
Yes.
I'm a witness. Sometimes I don't always get the rest like I want to, but hallelujah. They're sending up a lot of hearts for you on Facebook, Dr. Rita. Yeah, so without further ado, amen. God bless you. Without further ado, I'm going to go really quick to Pastor Ramsey because it's 10:44 a.m., and we need about a good minute prayer. So just pray about everything that's going on. Take the floor. And for all the people that are listening at home, wherever you are in the world, send your prayer requests up right now. Whatever it is, God is going to hear your prayer request. And without further ado, Pastor Ramsey, take the floor. Shout us out a prayer on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show.
Amen, amen, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you on today, Lord, for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, God. Lord, we just thank you for this day because this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we just ask you right now, God, to go to the east, the west, the north, and the south, and even overseas, Lord. We ask you to heal where people need to be healed, deliver where they need to be delivered, Lord. We thank you right now, God, for just standing here alive one more day, God. And we thank you right now, God, those who are going through something in the malls, in the cities, in the communities, in the countries, Lord, we ask you right now, God, to send protection their way, God, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless our children, God. Bless our finances, God. Lord, we thank you because you're all in the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. And, Lord, it's all about you and not about us, Lord. And we know that you're going to work it out for every individual. We send comfort and peace to those who lost loved ones. And, Lord, we ask you right now, God, just to heal their heart, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Lord, we're going to keep on believing. We're going to keep on trusting in you, Lord, because that's what we got to do. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all we're asking from you. So, Lord, we ask you to cover us by your blood, which you already do. When we go out into the streets, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to send protection our way, God. And, Lord, we want to thank you for this day that you have created for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Can everybody say hallelujah and give a hallelujah?
Pastor
thank
Ramsey.
You, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Ramsey. Thank you, Pastor Ramsey. And without further ado, thank you so much, Pastor Ramsey. But without further ado, I want to go to James Hudson. James, can you give out those phone numbers one more time? James, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay, the numbers to Commissioner Ellis's office is 346-286. 1-800-346-286-1800. That's the first number. Second number is 713-274-1000. And all we're saying is please help us get justice for Joshua Johnson's family, and we're asking for a full investigation. That's all you need to say. They've gotten hundreds of calls, so they already know why you're calling. We're just trying to keep showing that the family has support. So we thank you guys so much for making those calls, and God bless you guys. I really, really appreciate the calls.
God bless
really
you.
I'm going to
call. Brother James, I'm going to call today. Brother James, I'm going to call today.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Amen. Without further ado, I want to go to Annette Jackson. Annette Jackson, before we bring the regulator on and before we bring on our commentary, give us your closing remarks, Annette, on what you're feeling. Go right ahead, Annette. Take the floor.
Well, you know what? What I'm feeling is, I think probably a couple of weeks, as I heard everybody so eloquently and by the Spirit of the Living God give their testimonies as to the prescribed topic, you know what I said? No, we got to create a small book. And guess what I came up with? I came up with People Make Good Noise. And I want to read you this, right? Just to start. People Make Good Noise. People Make Good Noise describes the sound bites of excellent vessels of thought who drive home the indelible ink of good noise to the mind for further adaptation. And who better to start the good noise except Pastor Eddie Jones, preacher, teacher, and the justice personnel as a civil rights agent to address key topics to crush the air and plant good noise into the atmosphere. Good noise describes a welcome, and the welcome is welcome to good noise, where people come together on one accord without any hesitation, doubt, or duress. They come through one accord to press the boulevard of their own star, to have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what I see from everybody, because people make good noise. From the words of wisdom, from regulating the manual, from health and wellness, to, you know, the mental health for the year, to Pastor Reams and all the great pastors. So, Eddie Jones, just thank you for people making good noise on this platform.
Wow, thank you so much. I don't know what to say. Can we all give Senator Jackson to be a big hand?
If poetry said.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wow,
amen.
Thank you so much. Wow, we love you, Annette. We love you, Senator to be. Well, without further ado, we're counting
too.
Down. Hey, man, thank you so much. That was so beautiful. I did not expect that. You have really, really touched my heart, Senator. You have touched my heart this morning. But without further ado, we got 10 minutes to go. We got 5 minutes for Regulate the Manual and 5 minutes for the commentary. Without further ado, Clarence and Mallon, take the floor. Give us Regulate the Manual.
Yes, I've been holding a secret from you and that David Jackson, and I'm going to give it to you now. My secret is, my oldest niece's name is Annette Jean Jackson. So your name is autonomous with me. I carry you in my heart in a special way you have no idea. But with all of the topics you had, all of the input that was induced into the subject matter, and I've been reading into the Gang Bangers, and we've been leading up to the House of Bang, and this House of Bang is where I invited all the Gang Bangers to come to the table for a discussion. But we know that people tend to want to sneak things in that's not supposed to be, because if you're a gangbanger, you are supposed to be able to hold your own without a knife, a stick, a gun, a rock, billy club, any form of weapon. So we've been holding checks at the random before these gangbangers come into the house to bang. Now listen, back in the days, it was all good to know how to use those hands, although there were many who was playing the part as a man and of a gangbanger. It has become a part of many of who has accepted the notions that they cannot handle a good and fair fight. So now we have those who would either turn to become a snitch, snake, and would double cross their own homie within the blink of an eye. And these kind of do-lo schemes and tactics that have been put into place in order to eliminate and eradicate the true soldiers, the bangers, their competition. Who can forget that we are still posted, dissecting through this meeting and inside of the House of Bang? And don't you forget it. At this present time, everything is jumping, and we have it all going on inside. Outside, the streets have become like an old-fashioned dental office. Outside, everyone is acting like an uncontrollable kid. The youngsters, they are running around out of control with themselves, and the dads and the mothers have their hands full of their own problems. But we have been banging up in here. Speaking of the dentist, I have a small surprise for you all. I have an old friend. He is a dentist. He has volunteered his skills and his time during the meeting here at the House of Bang. My friend the dentist only does his work only in the old-fashioned ways. So everyone, please, stay in your seats at this time. Allow the dentist to make his rounds all throughout the House of Bang. The dentist will only be doing his work. Don't ask him to do yours. His job is only to pull teeth and fill cavities. No grills. Don't try it. You all must allow the dentist to check out all of your mouthpieces. There may be some false teeth and some fake implants that have made it within the House of Bang. You can trust the dentist. Believe me, the dentist finishes his work. Your mouth will be clean once the dentist has completed his personal checking out of your mouth and taking x-rays of everyone. We will all surely know who the real bangers are and who all the false bangers are. Stay still in your seat until the dentist has completed all of his work, and please be patient. Meanwhile, at the same time, all these kinds of situations are going down in every neighborhood and city. It is jumping off nationwide and worldwide.
there they are and are still alive and thriving as usual. These are the many children of those who were the perpetrators that have been devised and schemed to help eliminate and eradicate the soldiers and the bangers within the neighborhoods everywhere. There were many more who have received the monies and the tools to keep the real homie down and against each other. If you claim that you are not of any of these clans, why are you not regulating these banging situations in the original ways? Now answer that. Through the last 40 years, there were millions of true soldiers and real bangers who came up lost in the game some kind of way, not fully aware of the many tricks, traps, and pitfalls that would eventually lead to the end. And if you want to finish that, you got to go to the gangbangs inside of the House of Bang. You can only find that in the book of Regulate the Manual. Go to regulatethemanual.com. Hit me personally because this book is written and you are in here. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all the listeners.
Thank you,
all right, Brother Clarence. Brother Clarence. Yeah, man. Yeah.
The dentist is coming around. The dentist is making this round.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Without further ado, we have 5 minutes left on the show, and we want to make sure we get all of the commentary. Without further ado, please, Professor Reams, take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, a tremendous forum and all of the things that go with our commentary is based on the brilliance of every last one of our co-hosts and our guests. So I'm only going to give a snippet of all the brilliance by summarizing it into what we have for the commentary. So thank you so much, Pastor Jones, for our Monday 15 Minutes of Fame. It is an honor and a pleasure to always be here. And one thing that we started out with was a little bit of despair because Pastor Jones set up the tone by saying how sick and tired, not tired, but tired of being sick and tired of all the things that are going on from Patrick, like Olga's death, and also the 14 injured in the ball shooting. And this would bring a lot of despair and a lot of condemnation of all the current institutions that are there. But the one thing that makes us different is that today is the day after, but also the day that includes Resurrection Sunday. Because of the resurrection, we are now rebirthed. Because of the resurrection, we are now renewed. And then it means that, as Pastor Ramsey mentioned, that we are risen and we be alive. And since we're alive, the good Lord has placed us in a situation where, yes, there's despair, but we can also turn it around because we are alive, which means in the first level of the word of the week, we have trust, number one, trust in God. And in trusting God, he tells us, trust in the Lord because he will never let us down. But there's also the part that we also have to remember that we also have to meet him halfway. And the way that we meet him halfway is from the brilliance of Senator Debionette Davis Jackson, because she not only took what John Lewis had talked about, good trouble. We're going to say The way that we get into good trouble is by good noise. And in doing so with the good noise, what does that look like? Well, let's see here. Clarence Allen provided us with an idea of knowing the enemy. And through dealing with the House of Bang, it gives us the thinking and activities and behavior that would result in some of the situations going on, the police violence, the gang violence, and then also some of the crimes that are going on, but also reminding us through Willie Lynch memo of all of the things that have been done previously in history, which has led us to this point. But in trusting in God, this is nothing new, Ecclesiastes 1.3. We just do what we do. We keep on moving on and move with him. Now, we get to Dr. Granny B, our doctor. In order to do that, we have to have an idea of holistic medicine, and a lot of the stress that we're faced with would result in high blood pressure. However, because of our wonderful doctor reminding us of things that we can do through Nomi juice, through avocados, through watching processed foods, it will reduce our ability of stress, which will allow us to move forward as we are doing and getting into good noise and good trouble. So when we move from that, we're also reminded that we keep our wisdom through words of wisdom and the poetry. Many of these folks have lost their loved ones. But we are reminded of things that are reminded because they're always with us, even though they're not physically with us. And that we're at this point wringing out a wrong that would allow us to identify it as a wrong. And that one of the things that we are considered in our walk with God are the herald of truth. And in doing so, it means that we can do things as what Langston Hughes said, in love, have our freedom, but also share in the bounty of the earth. And in doing so, then it means that we lead to Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones that dealt with the idea of the power nap, because this is the cycle that we find ourselves in. Without a power nap, we supplement our health and our physical health with coffee. And through coffee, it becomes a cycle. But if we take a nap, it reduces the coffee, it reduces the need on sugars, and it reduces those things because through rest, through prayer, and through reflection, we become revitalized and we become reborn and renewed and alive. And in doing so, the work is going to be hard. However, our guests have reminded us something. James Hudson came back to us and told us all the good things that were going on, but oh, it has taken a toll on his life, especially since it's been long in coming, no different than what Pastor Jones is doing each and every day within the Civil Rights Organization. But we are renewed, alive. Pastor Ramsey, of course, reminded us about having undercover security, and we also be reminded that many of the angels that work with us are also undercover security officers for God, who continues to energize us when we're walking with him. And then finally, Senator Deanna Davis-Jackson reminded us about metal detectors, but also things that will protect us and to make sure that we're alive, by also reminding us of how in control we are in moving forward with providing us with the notion of good noise. So what does that good noise look like? It means letters to politicians. It means phone calls to politicians. It means protest. It means plays on YouTube, as James Hudson has shown us. It also means that we vote, as I keep reminding us, but it also means that we take time to, for the good Lord, for prayer and forgiveness, because that means it's healing. And because we're is healing, we do not do what we do in vain. We do it in love as we are moving, as we trust in him, since he'll never let us down by getting into good trouble by making good noise. And with that, wow. That's my commentary.
Well, Professor Reed, thank you. Outstanding.
Woo.
Just completely amazing. Thank you. Now, once again, you've knocked it out the park. Hey, Brother Clarence, you ready to get in the limo and ride out now?
Yes, sir. Once Professor Reed slammed the truck of the limo, the Eddie Jesse Jones Blog Talk Radio Show has hit the road.
Well, first of all, I want to say to everybody out there, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, and we'll be here next week where we talk about constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. I want you to have a really wonderful week. Don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. And remember that the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. I want to thank James Hudson. I want to thank Senator Annette Jackson. I want to thank everybody who has come on our show. And I want to thank everybody that's on our show, our co-producers and our co-hosts of the show. We're all one big happy family. We're going to get that letter out this week over to Grand Rapids, Michigan, to the governor and to the senator, and we're not going to forget about Patrick. We're going to keep him in prayer. And everybody on Facebook Live, thank you so much. Everybody who came on Facebook Live, thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Maurice Valentine. Brother, I'm going to get in touch with you, man. We got to talk about you, having you on the show. Brother Andre Ray, what's up, my brother? We were at church together yesterday. Right on, everybody on Facebook Live. Thank you so much for the hearts, Vera, everybody. Look, I got to go on Facebook Live first before I play any music because I don't want them shutting down the show. Love y'all. God bless you. And the best is yet to come. See you here next Monday with a whole nother topic and some more civil rights issues that we will find resolve for. God bless. Peace. Now, as far as over here on Facebook, it is time for our theme song. And here's the question that I always ask. The question is, what's really going on? Yes. Yes, Tawana, go ahead.
I want to say very loud, thank you for all you do for the platform we have, for the family, for the Lost Heart and all our listeners. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Tawana. Thank you. Thank you. Love you, too. There's too many of you guys.
Right.